إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله يقول الله جل وعلا في كتابه الكريم يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله وقولوا قولا سديدا يصلح لكم أعمالكم ويغفر لكم ذنوبكم ومن يطع الله ورسوله فقد فاز فوزا عظيما أما بعد فإن أصدق الحديث كتاب الله وخير الهدي هدي سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وسلم وشر الأمور محدثاتها وكل محدثة بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار أعاذنا الله وإياكم منها أجمعين أما بعد. Dear brothers and sisters, after the Muslims suffered heavy losses in the battle of Uhud, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed some verses in Surah Al-Imran to console the community and to educate them and give them hope. Among these verses that were revealed after the Muslims suffered heavy losses after Uhud were the following verses. وَكَأَيِّمْ مِنْ نَبِيٍّ قَاتَلَ مَعَهُ رِبِّيُّونَ كَثِيرٌ فَمَا وَهَنُوا لِمَا أَصَابَهُمْ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَمَا ضَعُفُوا وَمَا اسْتَكَانُوا وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الصَّابِرِينَ وَمَا كَانَ قَوْلَهُمْ إِلَّا أَنْ قَالُوا رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ فَأَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابَ الدُّنْيَا وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابِ الْآخِرَةِ وَاللَّهُ يُحِبُّ الْمُحْسِنِينَ. In these verses, Allah revealed to the hearts of our beloved Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam the consolation to the community, telling them that there were those in the past who were with the other prophets and messengers who were in battle, who also suffered losses, including the killing of prophets and messengers, losing in battle, suffering loss, but not a true loss in the ultimate sense. And those previous communities, when they suffered losses, they did not weaken, they did not falter, rather Allah loves the patient. And then Allah says that when those past nations suffered loss, they only said the following, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. They mentioned four things. They prayed to Allah saying, رَبَّنَا, O our Lord, our Sustainer, forgive us our sins and our transgressions and excess in our affairs, and make our feet firm and assist us against a disbelieving people. And Allah says, and so Allah gave them a reward in this life and a good, beautiful reward in the next. And Allah loves the people of virtue and excellence. So in these verses, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling the community that there are four things you have to have when looking at loss. They said, رَبَّنَا اغْفِرْ لَنَا ذُنُوبَنَا وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا وَانْصُرْنَا عَلَى الْقَوْمِ الْكَافِرِينَ. First they said, oh our Lord, forgive us our sins in general. Our major sins, our minor sins, general, specific, all sins. Forgive us our sins. And then they asked Allah to forgive them for a very specific sin. وَإِسْرَافَنَا فِي أَمْرِنَا. Our excess, our excessiveness in our matter. وَثَبِّتْ أَقْدَامَنَا. And make our feet firm and assist us against the disbelieving people. So they sought forgiveness for general sins, and then they sought forgiveness for a very specific sin, a sin of israf, of going to excess. And Allah answered that dua and says, فَأَتَاهُمُ اللَّهُ ثَوَابِ الدُّنْيَا وَحُسْنَ ثَوَابِ الْأَخِرَةِ Allah gave them a reward in this life and a beautiful reward in the next. And Allah loves the people of virtue and excellence. Dear brothers and sisters, our beloved Messenger sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam is known as Al-Bashir and Al-Nadir, the bringer of glad tidings and also the warner. So he warned us of those things that will cause us destruction. He warned us of those things that would take us off the path. He warned us of those things that will harm us physically, spiritually, socially, mentally, you name it. And one of the qualities he warned us against is a quality mentioned in this verse, that of israf, or going to excess. In the Holy Quran, Allah condemns many different qualities in those who take on those qualities. He says that he does not love al-zalimun, the wrongdoers, al-kafirun, al-fasiqun, and among those, he mentions al-musrifun, the people who go to excess, the people who go beyond the means. Israf is defined as going to excess in anything. One can have israf in doing the haram. One can have excess israf in their consumption. One can have excess in the halal. So israf is a negative quality, whether it is applied to haram things or even halal things. And among the negative features of israf is that when a person becomes excessive, they end up suffering from arrogance and hubris. Allah mentions this about Fir'aun. He says about him, وَإِنَّ فِرْعَوْنْ لَعَالٍ فِي الْأَرْضِ وَإِنَّهُ لَمِنَ الْمُسْرِفِينَ Fir'aun exalted himself in the earth, arrogant. Indeed, he was among the musrifin, the people of israf. The people of excessiveness, of israf, are also linked with the people of hellfire, وَالْعِيَّاذُ بِاللَّهِ For Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says about them, وَأَنَّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ هُمْ أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ The people of excessiveness, israf, are the companions of the hellfire. And Allah warns us from going to excess, even in the halal. He mentions in Surah Al-A'raf, يَا بَنِي آدَمْ كُلُوا زِينَتَكُمْ عِنْدَ كُلِّ مَسْجِدٍ وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا He says, O children of Adam, take your adornments when you come to any masjid. And when you come to the house of Allah, wear good clothing. Don't dress in a shabby manner. وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا And eat and drink. وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا Do not go to excess. إِنَّهُ لَا يُحِبُّ الْمُسْرِفِينَ He does not love the people of excessiveness, of israf. Dear brothers and sisters, this negative quality of israf, as I said, applies to the haram and it applies to the halal. So there's many different forms israf can take. So we need to identify where israf might be within our own lives so we can banish it and restore balance. Among the areas where israf comes into play is in wealth. Israf in matters of wealth. Excessive consumption. Unlawful hoarding. Mirth, greed, stinginess. Among the modern day forms of israf, of going to excess, is taking on credit card debt. Of living off credit from month to month. Living off credit month to month instead of having the discipline to delay one's gratification and to pay for what one can truly afford. There are many people, Muslims and non-Muslims alike, who live their entire lives off of credit. They're paying the interest, hardly anything on the principal, and they're doing this month to month. This is excessiveness. This is israf. The most prominent mention of israf in the Quran is in relation to this gathering of stuff. And that is in Surah Al-Takathur, the small chapter in Juz Amma at the final part of the Quran, the 30th part. In Surah Al-Takathur, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals ألهاكم التكاثر حتى زرتم المقابر. This takathur, this mutual piling up of seeking more and more and more, this distracts you. This takes you away from the path. Now, alhaqum in Arabic is a past tense verb. Alha yulhi, it means anything that distracts you, that takes you away from your ultimate purpose. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that this takathur is what distracts us. It preoccupies us. And it keeps us from what is more important. To give an example that most people can relate to, it's like that feeling when you're watching a television show. It's a series. And you get to the end and you say, I'm going to watch one episode. But at the end of the episode, something happens and you just have to know what happens in the next episode. So you click continue to episode 2. And then episode 2 is watched, and at the end, you click episode 3, and before you know it, you're going to sleep at 3 in the morning, binge watching on Netflix because you want to know what's going to happen in the next episode. You're drawn in. They're designed that way. So imagine the person binge watching Netflix, and the time of Salat comes, they don't want to hear that because they are now distracted from the excessive watching. It's pulling them away from what is an obligation to establish the Salat. That's an example that everyone can relate to. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us in this chapter, Al-Hakum wa Takafur, this takafur, this mutual piling up of excess, it distracts you. It takes you away from the path. Now, takafur is from kathra, is from abundance, it is from much, to have more. Allah is telling us that we are distracted from our purpose by seeking to get more and more and more, to accumulate. We are distracted by looking for that next item of clothing, that next video game, that next material good or toy, that next phone. Even if these things are halal in themselves, when we are pulled into focusing on those things at the expense of things that are more important, we are distracted. Al-haqum al-takafur. You are distracted. You are made oblivious. You are in a state of ghafla, of heedlessness to your true purpose because you are seeking to acquire more and more and more. But also, takathur means more than just piling up. Takathur in Arabic is musharaka. It is vying with other people. It is competing with others in accumulating more and more stuff. It is the mutual struggle and attempt to gather more and more material goods. It's the never-ending competition to keep up with the Joneses, to keep up with the neighbors, to have that appearance of abundance. You don't want to seem to be the one with less than your neighbor or your co-workers or your friends or others, so you seek to get that more and more and more. And Allah says that this preoccupies us. It takes us away from the path. How can I get more? How can I get that next thing? How can I make that next purchase? How can I keep up with others who have the newest this or that? This is the takathur that Allah warns us about. It preoccupies us. That is one form of israf, of going to excess in accumulation. Look around you, dear brothers and sisters. When you drive around in any city or town, you see storage facilities sprinkled throughout the cities. There's entire TV shows dedicated to seeing what's in storage facilities by people who disappeared or couldn't pay the storage rental cost. Entire shows that break the lock and see what's inside these storage facilities. You have a show on television called Hoarders, where people are amassing all sorts of things, useless things. This is the disease of israf. Other forms of israf include israf in food, going to excess in our consumption. The data tells us that there are over 1 billion people in the world right now who are undernourished and hungry each day. And that's not because of a lack of food. It's because of food waste. Around 1/3 of the world's food supply is lost to waste. That's around 1.3 billion tons of food each year. In micro terms, this means that roughly 1,000 tons of food are wasted every single minute. 1,000 tons every single minute. 90 million tons of food, 90 million, are discarded worldwide. And of that 90 million, or 900 million rather, 40 million tons of food are discarded in the U.S. yearly. Unless anyone thinks this is a first world problem, a problem that comes from privilege and access, this is also a so-called third world problem. It's spread all over the world. There are so-called third world countries who have even more food wastage. Some countries wasting in excess of 67 million tons of food yearly, even more than the U.S. And when you look at the top 10 countries of food wastage per capita, of those 10, four of them are Muslim countries. And I mention this because very often we hear these stats and we think, oh yes, that's because of those people. We're not like that. No, but every single illness, every single moral failing can apply to us as it can apply to others. So it's more about looking at ourselves than pointing the finger at others. Of those 10 countries, four of them are Muslim-majority countries. Another aspect of israf in food is eating to excess, to the point where it damages our health. We have, just recently, just 2 days ago, we had in one Muslim country that I will not name, we had an excess of 50,000 people hospitalized on the day of Eid due to overeating. That is israf. Israf in food, israf in walimas, israf in gatherings. That applies to us, dear brothers and sisters. Among the other forms of israf is what we mentioned earlier, israf in sins. If you do the haram, if you do those things that Allah has forbidden you, you are engaged in israf. You're going beyond the bounds, in excess, in things that damage your soul, damage your spirit. That is israf. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, قُلْ يَا عِبَادِيَ الَّذِينَ أَسْرَفُوا عَلَىٰ أَنفُسِهِمْ لَا تَقْنَطُوا مِنْ رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. Say, O my servants who have had israf, excessiveness, against their own souls through sin. So when you sin, when you do the haram, you are engaged in israf because you're going beyond the bounds that Allah has set. Other forms of israf include israf or excessiveness in matters of deen. There is israf in religion as well. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala reveals in the Quran, لَا تَغْلُوا فِي دِينِكُمْ. Do not go to excess and extremes in your religion. And the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa ala alihi wa sallam said, إِيَّاكُمْ وَالْغُلُوْ فَإِنَّ الْغُلُوَ أَهْلَكَ مَنْ كَانَ قَبْلَكُمْ. Beware of excessiveness and extremism in matters of religion, because that is what destroyed some of the previous nations before you. And he also said three times, هَلَكَ الْمُتَنَطِّعُونَ هَلَكَ الْمُتَنَطِّعُونَ هَلَكَ الْمُتَنَطِّعُونَ. Perish, destroy, are the extremists, those who go to extremes in their deen. And we have to be very careful here, because the definition of extremism and excessiveness in religion is not defined by the person who has a very weak attachment to religion. Far too often, the person who prays their five daily prayers, a bare minimum, is looked at by their relatives who are less religious, and they say, why are you being so extreme? Why are you being so extreme? Are you a murbisa? No, that's a bare minimum. So the definition of israf in matters of religion is not to be strict with yourself and to be cautious with yourself, contrary to many negligent people who like to frame it the other way around. It is to go beyond the golden mean, the balance set by Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that balance established by him, to the point where a person harms himself or harms others in the name of deen. We all know the famous hadith of those three men who, when they asked about the worship of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they considered their ibadah, their worship, to be very trifling and weak. And one of them said, as for me, I'm going to fast every single day and I'll never break my fast. One of them said, as for me, I will spend the entire night awake every single night and I will never sleep. And the third one said, as for me, I will shun women, and I will never get married. I will stay single the rest of my life. When news of these three men reached the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he asked about them, and he said, من رغب عن سنتي فليس مني. He says, as for me, I fast and I break my fast. I pray and I go to sleep. And I marry women. Whoever seeks a way other than my sunnah, he is not from me. That is what we mean by excessiveness in religion. As well as the excessiveness of religion where a person begins to become quote-unquote religious, mutadayyin, and thereby they begin to judge other people as being lesser. They begin to become arrogant and may even reach a state where they deem other Muslims as non-Muslims. That is all extremism and israf in matters of deen. Dear brothers and sisters, whether it is excessiveness in sins or in consumption or in money matters or food or religion, israf, excessiveness, weakens us and it takes us away from the straight path. Israf makes one weak at the end of the day. Weakness will then create hard times for the person. When a person is excessive in matters of money, it will lead them to poverty eventually. When they are excessive in matters of food, it will weaken their health. When they are excessive in luxury, they or their descendants, their family, will become weaker in the face of challenges that may arise in the future. This is why it is said that hard times create strong men. Strong men create good times. Good times create weak men. And weak men create hard times. That is the reality facing us around the world. The luxury weakens. So one has to beware of israf and take a very careful assessment of those areas in their life where they may be going too far this way or too far that way, and to re-establish that balance. May Allah guide us to that balance and inspire in us a commitment to live according to the sunnah of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, which establishes that balance in every facet of our life. Ameen. Walhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen. Wa afdalu salati wa atamu taslim ala sayyidina Muhammadin as-sadiq al-amin. وعلى آله وصحبه ومن استنى بسنته إلى يوم الدين وبعد. Dear brothers and sisters, we spoke about excessiveness in matters of sin, wealth, food, and religion. How can we reestablish that balance if we find ourselves in israf within any of these areas? If we start with israf in matters of wealth, we understand that the balance is iqtisad. Iqtisad is moderation and prudence. And what this means on a practical level is to avoid going into debt when possible. It means to learn financial literacy and the fiqh, the Islamic law of transactions. Far too many of us are financially illiterate. It used to be taught in our schools. No longer is it taught. And this damages us and makes things difficult in our lives when we lack that intelligence. Likewise, a way to establish the balance is to develop the entrepreneurial mindset and investing and understanding the value of investing and buying and selling and commerce and how this is firmly rooted in our tradition. To seek financial independence for ourselves and for our dependents in things that are halal, that are following the sharia in the transactions. These are ways of reestablishing that balance, to get out of debt, to get out of excessive consumption, to be intelligent with the use of our money, to engage in trade and commerce and the like with the intention of self-sufficiency, of not being in need of others, and intending to expand our wealth so that we can pay zakat, so we can pay sadaqah, we can give charity, we can help projects in our community, so that we can have capital flowing in our community. These are goals one should focus on to have that balance in matters of wealth. As far as food is concerned, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tells us, وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا وَلَا تُسْرِفُوا. Eat and drink, but do not go into excess. Avoiding excess in matters of food means we have to reconsider our relationship to food. It is quite possible for a person to go to an extreme one way or the other, whether it is an excess eating or an excess or dangerous, unhealthy dieting. If a person eats too much, they can damage their health. And if they engage in crash diet, they can also damage their health. That is also going to extremes from one end or the other. So when we think about our relationship with food, it's very important to understand that it really depends on where we are and what our circumstances are. When you look at people around the world, and including here, you will see that there's different levels of relationship when it comes to food. There are what we have people eating for survival. You can go into different parts of the world where people are eating just for survival. In many places in the world, people are desperate for anything to eat, and they don't have the luxury of choice. When a person is starving, israf is for them not a concern. They just need to have food in their mouth. They don't care about it being organic or fair trade or any of these things. They just need the food. They don't have to worry about israf because they are struggling for survival. Then you have people who are eating for energy, just to get by from day to day and week to week. They're slightly above subsistence. These are the people who can afford to buy surplus food, but due to their life circumstances, they don't have the luxury of a lot of choice. They buy what they can in bulk, they prepare it, and they eat it. And for them, israf is not a concern. For them, it is also week to week, month to month, and so on. They're eating for energy just to get by. Think of the poor, broke university student who's eating ramen 5 days a week. That's his condition. Then you have people who are eating for mood. Think about that. They're eating for their mood. A person may choose to eat things that will improve their mood. A person may get stressed. Life is getting difficult. They have a lot of pressure. So what do? They go and buy a pint of ice cream. And they sit on the couch and they eat the entire pint to relax. It makes them feel relaxed. They de-stress from eating the ice cream. So they're eating food not to sustain their health or even to survive. They're eating just to modulate their mood, to feel a little better about their circumstances. They may have certain memories attached to foods. And this is where israf can come into play. And this does not mean that you can't go get that pint of ice cream, but you have to pay attention that it does not become excessive to the detriment of your health. Lastly, we come to eating for health. Eating for health. And this is eating to improve one's health and to ward off disease and weakness. This is a way of eating done primarily in societies where there's great abundance. It is only in societies like North America and other parts where there's material affluence that you have discussions on what's the best diet. If you go to a very poor country of subsistence living, no one's talking about which diet is best. Is it the Mediterranean diet, or the Paleo diet, or the Keto diet, or the Atkins diet? No one cares. They need food. It's only in societies of abundance do people talk about the different diets, which one is best. And it is in these societies that israf in food becomes a real danger. So you have to consider your relationship to food, dear brothers and sisters. As far as sins are concerned, that's the path of Islam. Israf, excessiveness in sins requires struggle. It requires seeking forgiveness. It requires taking account of the self. And if we fall into sin, we seek Allah's forgiveness. We make an intention to stop it, to not go back to it. And if we go back to it, we make tawbah again and again and again until the day we die. That is how we address israf in matters of sins. So in conclusion, dear brothers and sisters, we all know that we each have multiple responsibilities between parenting and work, dealing with family and children, siblings and spouse, religious duties, work commitments, study commitments. We have many different responsibilities that are within our lives. And oftentimes we find ourselves falling into imbalance when we give more attention to one over the other. So if you find your life is feeling a bit topsy-turvy, if you feel like you're just barely above water, consider that maybe you're going to excess in one area of life and neglecting another area, and see where that imbalance is and try to reset it. This is a way of restoring your life to a proper balance in accordance with the way of the Prophet Sallallahu. And this requires a critical assessment. If you give more attention to work over children, your children are going to suffer. If you give more attention to your children over work, your work may suffer. Everything has to be given its just due. Restoring that balance is key to our mental health, our spiritual health, and our salvation in this life and the next. May Allah make us people of iqtisad, of balance. May He inspire us adhering to the golden mean of the sunnah of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and remove from us all israf in matters of sin, of consumption, of food, all excess that takes us away from what is pleasing to Him. Ameen. ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار ربنا هب لنا من أزواجنا وذرياتنا قرة أعين واجعلنا للمتقين إماما اللهم صل على سيدنا محمد عبدك ورسولك النبي الأمي وعلى آله وصحبه وسلم تسليما كثيرا بقدر عظمة ذاتك في كل وقت وحين سبحان ربك رب العزة عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين وقوموا إلى الصلاة